I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This 2021 season is full of high rollers with deep pockets who will let it ride. Football 21. A game of blackjack.
Here's the kick. It's got the distance. It's got the distance. And it is good!
Will the future Hall of Famers still be aces?
Rodgers in the shotgun. Takes the snap. Lofts it over the right side. Devontae. Over the shoulder. Catch. Got it.
Can fresh face upstarts beat the house?
They're in victory formation. And Baker Mayfield takes a knee. The Browns are going to the playoffs.
Which of the college football contenders will be dealt a stiff hand?
It'll start with a throw. Rattler deep drop.
Takes a shot for Mims behind the defense. Got him! Touchdown! Pay dirt! Marvelous!
For the 21 season, we're doubling down.
This is starting to become very, very real.
It's Sunday Morning Football with your host, D.A., only on CBS Sports Radio.
And a happy Sunday morning to you. We come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. Coming your way this morning on Sunday Morning Football, complete analysis and reaction to yesterday's championship Saturday in college football. Looks like we've got our college football playoff Final Four set. Paint is drying, and potentially no real controversy. We'll analyze that. Also, excessive celebration, your best play-by-play calls of yesterday's championship games. We also have the great Ricky Williams joining us this morning on the show in 20 minutes. Heisman Trophy winner, Texas Longhorns legend, always a thoughtful interview. Ricky's going to join us in 20 minutes. Also, we go out to Vegas, our Vegas virtuoso, Mitch Moss, to give us some locks for today's NFL action. Big Ben could be saying so long after the season, and we'll look at tomorrow night's huge one of the AFC East, Patriots and Bills. It's all straight ahead over the next 2 hours, right here on Sunday Morning Football. And there's so many ways you can listen to the show each and every Sunday. We're on hundreds of affiliates nationwide across the great CBS Sports Radio Network. We're also on Sirius XM channel 158. You can also listen to us on your phone. Take us with you wherever you go today by streaming us using the CBS Sports app or the Odyssey app. And in fact, in the Odyssey app, you can listen to us by rewinding, fast-forwarding, and pausing live radio. That's inside the Odyssey app. That's a free app. And you can tell your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio. Have us on around the house. Well, yesterday had the potential for two things. Number one, chaos. If the underdogs won, if the favorites gagged, could the entire expected Final Four be thrown into a blender? And number two, Georgia finally having its day. Bulldogs fans know all too well that that the last 40 years have been buildups only to lead to letdowns. Ever since Herschel Walker left campus in the early 1980s, a national championship has been elusive. But boy, this year, it certainly looked like the entire season was a culmination leading up to that national championship. And yet, yesterday, with Alabama vulnerable after nearly losing to 6-6 Auburn last week in the Iron Bowl, Alabama, which has been so inconsistent all season long, playing in so many one-score games all season long, so bad away from home all season long, yet when the chips were down, and in a rare instance, Alabama was the underdog, guess what happened? It was teacher over mentor again. Teacher over mentee, rather, over pupil again. Let's start things off with your Sunday Gunslinger.
In football's Wild West, he shoots from the hip.
We need men like him to make towns safe for decent people.
DA is the Sunday Gunslinger.
When you have to shoot, shoot, don't talk.
All right, let's do it.
Going into this week, I, like many of you, I, like Vegas, said, this is Georgia's moment. Bama's been playing down to competition. Bama just had to get a miracle to escape the Iron Bowl. Georgia is just squeezing the life out of teams defensively. The Bulldogs have given up less than 7 points per game. Look, if Alabama couldn't score in the first three quarters against Auburn, will they even sniff the end zone against Georgia? I, like many of you, I, like the odds makers, said this is Georgia's moment. And then I came across a statistic, and I talked about this at length on Friday's DA show right here on CBS Sports Radio. I host mornings, weekday mornings, right here on the network. And I said this number stopped me in my tracks. This stat made me completely rethink what I thought I knew. This was only the sixth time in Nick Saban's Alabama career dating back to 08, okay? Only the sixth time Alabama was underdogs. Now think about that. He had only been an underdog six times since 08 with Alabama and hadn't been an underdog since 2015 against Georgia. So five previous times Alabama was an underdog since 08. In four of those five, forget beating the spread. In four of those five, Alabama won outright. In fact, Alabama, in four of the five games they were underdogs, blew out the favorites. 08, Bama beats Clemson 34-10 as an underdog. 08, Bama beats Georgia 41-30 as an underdog. 09, Bama beats Florida 32-13 as an underdog. 15, Bama beats Georgia 38-10 as an underdog. And knowing that every time Alabama was doubted, every time the public thought this is the chance that Bama goes down, almost every time that happened, Nick Saban and his troops rose to the occasion and toppled the favorite. And in seeing that and reading that and digesting that and knowing Saban's mastery over Kirby Smart, I said, nope, this ain't going to be the day for the Bulldogs. Take Alabama plus 6.5. And you might as well have taken them straight up, because once again, Nick Saban proved he's an intergalaxy, interdimensional wizard. Here's how it sounded on the Alabama Crimson Tide radio network.
Bryce has tons of time, steps back, looks long, throws. Jameson Williams behind the defense. He's got it. Touchdown, Alabama! Touchdown, Alabama! And Jameson then goes over towards the student section for Alabama and lets them take their pictures. 55 yards!
Well, I'm extremely proud of our coaching staff, our players, the entire organization. We've probably had to overcome more adversity, and this team has had to endure and have more resiliency from a competitive standpoint than probably most of the teams that we've ever had, and I'm really proud of them for that.
You guys
gave us a lot of really positive rat poison. The rat poison that you usually give us is usually fatal. But the rat poison that you put out there this week was yummy.
A rare laugh from a Nick Saban press conference. What can you say? Georgia's defense was historically great. Georgia's defense has multiple first-round NFL draft picks on it. Georgia's defense has been the story, the greatest unit in the college football season. And yet, last night, Alabama put up 24 points in the second quarter alone and put up 536 yards of offense. 536, including 421 through the air, as Bryce Young likely locked up the Heisman. And Alabama just proved they're still the daddies of the Georgia Bulldogs. It is remarkable. It is unlike anything else we've ever seen. Nick Saban has now beaten the number one team in the country 8 times over the course of his career. He's beaten the number one team, the number one ranked team of the country, 8 times in his career. There is no longer any words to describe his mastery. There's no longer any words to describe just how ridiculous this dominance is. He has won 7 of the past 10 SEC championships. And in one of those 3 where he did not, he won a national title. And now he's been an underdog 6 times since 08. He has won 5 of those games straight up. Beware of the Tide yet again. We thought we had rid ourselves of them, but now they're going to be the number one seed in the college football playoff and the favorites to do it again. Speaking of the college football playoff, a lot of people figured, well, at some point chaos reigns. At some point there's going to be all these arguments about the Final Four. At some point we're never going to agree on who belongs to the college football playoff. And yet, boy, yesterday solved itself really easily, didn't it? This is the way it sounded in the Big Ten championship game yesterday, as well as the Big 12 championship game yesterday. And these are the sounds that locked in our Final Four.
Corum breaks it up over the 40, breaks outside. He's got lots of room. He's got a blocker. He's going to go down the sideline. Blake Corum at the 5. Blake Corum scores. Touchdown, Michigan.
Jerome Ford bouncing it to the left. There he goes. To the 30. Pulling away like Secretariat at the Belmont. Touchdown, Bearcats, as Jerome Ford takes it to the house to give Cincinnati a 3-score lead.
It's just the way they approach it. They give it their best every day. Just that simple thing. And nobody ever thinks it's that simple, but it's that simple.
So proud of these guys. They've been through so much ups and downs, so many obstacles. Really, truly care about what it is they're doing with the guys that are around them. It showed.
You heard Eli Gold, the voice of the Crimson Tide on Learfield. You heard Jim Brandstatter there, the voice of Michigan on Learfield. You heard Dan Hoard, the voice of Cincinnati on Learfield. Because of what happened to the Big 12 championship game, where Oklahoma State lost, because of what happened to the Big 10 championship game, Michigan won, because of what happened to the American championship game, Cincinnati won, that's it. I think it's locked. Your Final Four, your college football playoff, is actually quite clean, not messy at all. Alabama is going to be your 1, Michigan or Georgia your 2, the other is going to be 3, and Cincinnati's going to be your 4. And that's the way it's going to lock in. Because the one thing we know is that Michigan can't be your 4. They're not going to drop after what they did yesterday to Iowa. And they're not going to want a rematch of Alabama-Georgia in the first playoff game. And so Georgia's not going to slip to 4. And so we have it. Our 2 playoff games are set. It's going to be Bama versus Cincinnati. It's going to be Michigan versus Georgia. And for Cincinnati, I think they're completely deserving. I was doubting them when the rankings started coming out. Outside of that win over Notre Dame, they were toying with, playing down to below mediocre American competition. That Indiana win didn't look good at all as the Hoosiers sunk through the season. But at the end of the year, the last 3 weeks of the American Championship game, they caught fire. and they beat good teams like SMU, like Houston last night, like East Carolina, and they beat them badly. And that's what we needed to see to make sure it wasn't just them cruising through a lackluster season and not getting much pushback. They beat good teams, legitimately good teams, top 25 teams, and they did it with ease. And so Cincy deserves in that college football playoff, the first ever group of five team to do so. What a season for them. What a performance last night after that first half that was nip and tuck. And they pull away from a very good Cougars team to win with a celebration at Nippert Stadium in Cincinnati, which was awesome to watch. Congrats to the Bearcats, but also for everybody that screamed and yelled and pounded their fist all season long about what the committee was doing, and they were screwing Cincinnati over, and they were always going to keep them out, yada, yada, yada. I was the one that was saying consistently on my show, hey, let's not yell that the committee sucks and that they're going to rob Cincy until they actually suck and rob Cincy. And ultimately, it's not going to happen. Today, we're going to get our Final Four, and everybody's going to be pretty set on it. More on the Baylor win next hour. Finally, in the NFL, reports surfaced last night that this indeed will be Ben Roethlisberger's final season. He will retire after the year. And so five games stand between Big Ben and the clock starting on his Hall of Fame career. Here's some of his greatest moments from Steelers Radio.
43 seconds to go. Ben gets the snap. He scrambles around, throws it back corner of the end zone. Santonio with a touchdown! Santonio holds! I don't know how he did it! Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie doesn't know how he did it, but they rule touchdown in the far right corner of the end zone.
I think it's safe to say when you watch Big Ben, you know, personally as a fan, you know he's closer to the end of his career than the beginning or the middle. That's the reality of the situation. And like you said, when you look at his career, the championships, the production, being one of the all-time Steeler greats in the organization, a future Hall of Famer, you would like to be able to do it the right way, in my opinion. And I think his fans would love to be able to see him do it the right way.
Right.
As a former teammate, I would love to be able to see Big Ben do it the right way. You know, right time, being able to enjoy the fruits of his labor in a Pittsburgh Steelers uniform.
That's former Steeler Bryant McFadden weighing in. That was Steelers Radio and the voice of the Steelers, Bill Hillgrove, on the Super Bowl touchdown throw, one of the greats in history in that beautiful, crazy classic against the Cardinals more than a decade ago. I think Big Ben's going to go down in history as one of the greatest Steelers ever. It's very difficult because the Steelers have those 70s teams. Those teams are not only stacked with elite, great all-time talent, but they're also, nostalgically speaking, always going to remain at a different layer than the Big Ben era Steelers. It's just always going to be that way. So when you look at the greatest Steelers ever, Mean Joe Green, Mel Blunt, Chuck Knoll, those guys not only are great Steelers, those guys are the greatest ever, some of the greatest ever to do it in football for any team. Jack Ham, Jack Lambert, Franco Harris. Again, those guys are all-time greats in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, not just for the Steelers. They are all-century type guys. Troy Polamalu is the greatest of the recent generations of Steelers. He, all-time, is one of the great safeties ever. I'm not sure you would put Big Ben as one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, but for the Steelers, he didn't win as much as Terry Bradshaw. But he threw for far more yards, far more touchdowns, and so that certainly counts for something. Of course, it was a different passing game back in the 70s, so Big Ben naturally was going to put up bigger numbers than Terry Bradshaw. But I think there's that second tier of the Steelers with Jerome Bettis, Bill Cowher, and Big Ben, where, okay, they're not the 70s Steelers, but they're all time greats for the Steelers organization and their Pro Football Hall of Famers. I think Big Ben will be remembered that way. And Big Ben also delivered two Super Bowl championships, a third Super Bowl appearance, a couple of other AFC title game appearances. Right now, boy, that feels like a long time ago. But Big Ben certainly ushered in another golden era of Steelers football where they were in the playoffs or the Super Bowl regularly, won big games and played the AFC Championship game or the final game of the season, and you could point to them as one of the great franchises in the NFL, and he was the quarterback behind it. And so when we dust off all of these old Steelers teams and they keep bringing them back to Heinz Field for Super Bowl anniversaries, Big Ben's going to become that guy in Pittsburgh. He's going to become that guy for this new generation as he walks away after the season. That's according to reports. That's your Sunday Gunslinger. When we come back, he is certainly one of the most interesting players ever to play in the NFL. A Heisman Trophy winner at Texas, an all-time legend in terms of running the football in college. He got to the NFL, and there was a lot of misunderstanding about him, his personality, his desires, and really who he was at his core. He's one of the most interesting guys to talk to. So I'm thrilled to say that we've got Ricky Williams joining us coming up here next on Sunday Morning Football. This should be really good. Stay right there. D.A., Damon Amendolara on CBS Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
NFL action begins next Sunday with the NFL Today, followed by a full slate of regional games. You'll say, you saw it on CBS Sports.
It's Sunday Morning Football with D.A.
Welcome back to CBS Sports Radio, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. D.A. with you, Damon Amendolara. And our next guest is a Heisman Trophy winner. He's number 34, retired for the Texas Longhorns. He's a former Pro Bowler and All-Pro in the NFL as well, and a member of the 10,000-yard club, one of the great running backs in collegiate football history. Joining us here on the show is Ricky Williams. Ricky, how you doing?
I'm great. Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us. You know, in your collegiate career, you had a coach that recruited you, John Makovic, and unfortunately he was fired while you were there, and then you were under Mack Brown as well. And I was watching all these coaching hires and changes happen this week, and I wondered what the athletes go through, what the players feel when their guy leaves. What was that like for you?
It was tough. It was very tough, and I was very close to leaving for the NFL. after my junior season because I didn't want to have to go through that shift. And I don't know. I mean, everyone has their own experiences, but I love John Makovic. I still do. You know, it's relatively rare to find a college coach who is truly a man of their word. And in my experience, John Makovic was. Everything he said to me came to fruition. And, you know, I had a great first 3 years in college under Makovic. He's an offensive genius, especially the way he'd scheme up the run game. And so, you know, when he was fired after my junior year, I even said before the A&M game, the last game of the year, I said, if John Makovic gets fired, I'm leaving, thinking that anyone would care. But and so we lost to A&M and he was fired the next day. And I pretty much told myself I was out of here. And I remember the first meeting when Coach Brown came in and I stood in front of the team and started talking. And I sat in the back of the room with my arms crossed thinking, you know, this politician, you know, I was pissed. It was tough. And I think it's not exactly the same, but it's very similar to, you know, your parents divorce and the parent you stay with gets into a new relationship and you got a step parent, you know. That's kind of what it feels like when a new coach comes in and you have to, you know, create rapport with the new coach and get on his good side and figure out his rules. And for some people, it's great because it's a fresh start. But for some people who had a great relationship with the previous coach, it can be tough.
So how'd you
my
get
situation,
over? Yeah, how'd you
it
get
was
over
easy,
your frustration?
Good question. So I pretty much told Coach Brown that I was leaving, and he called me into his office and he said, "Okay, I understand you're probably leaving, but you've been here the longest and you know this team. So what can you tell me about the team?" So we spent probably 2 hours going through the team and me telling him what I thought and how I thought we could be better and the changes that needed to be made, in my opinion. And the next day I started to see him implementing a lot of those changes. And so I felt empowered as a leader like I never had before. And that convinced me, among other things, that convinced me to stay for my senior year.
Did you ever feel that empowerment again when you got to the NFL?
Not like that. No, not at all. Not at all. But, you know, it was a rare situation where, you know, Coach Brown is smart. So he knew that Heisman Trophy frontrunner coming back is going to help the team.
Yeah, good way to sell an important piece of the puzzle to coming back.
Exactly. So you know, he kind of had nothing to lose. And I think in the NFL, it's kind of the opposite. There's always so much to lose. But I did feel a similar type of empowerment playing the year I played for Nick Saban. Wasn't the same, but he definitely empowered players to contribute in more ways than just stats, and I think that's important.
Ricky Williams joins us this morning here on CBS Sports Radio and Sunday Morning Football. So you challenged the conventions of the NFL in the early 2000s, mid-2000s, and today, because of awareness of mental health, acceptance of marijuana, especially for medicinal use, it feels like that you are just ahead of your time. It's a weird question, but do you ever wish you were born later?
Well, I mean, I think if we look back on history and we look at the people who we admire and respect, and we remember, okay, most of them are people, a lot of them at their time, they weren't appreciated or respected, but most of them, what they have in common is they are ahead of their time. So no, you know, no. I mean, I've realized that, you know, my number one motivation in life is to live, you know? And so I love my story, and I love that I got to be a pioneer to help change things, because for things to change, somebody's got to go first. Somebody's got to be ahead of their time.
Hmm. That's a great perspective. You know, it seemed like league decision makers and the authority figures were the ones that really didn't understand you, but I wonder about teammates as well. Do you think the modern teammate would have understood you more as well?
I don't know. I don't think so. Hopefully more so. No, I think one of the main reasons why people didn't understand me is because I didn't value money as much as a lot of other people. I mean, like I said, I mean, I valued more life experiences, and I think we hear people talk about that, but we rarely ever see people who really live that. And so I think in that sense, I was hard to understand. Heck, I didn't even understand it myself. So I think the main travesty, but my teammates are my teammates. You go to war with someone, so you might not understand their mind, but you know their heart. And so my teammates might not have understood what was going on in my mind, but they knew me. And I think, you know, the NFL executives, they just, you know, they're doing their job and saying, okay, that there's this quote unquote drug that it looks bad to our reputation if players are getting arrested for it. So let's see what we can do to try to stop that. And so in that scenario, I'm not a human being. I'm not going through a real life experience. You know, I'm a liability. And I think that's the deeper issue. But I think as players are speaking up more, and that's what it requires, those things are starting to change.
Ricky Williams is our guest here on CBS Sports Radio. You know, it's so interesting when you say money was not your driving force, was not a motivator. You were surrounded by an industrial complex that was defined by money. The money was coming in from fans. The owners cared about money. The TV execs cared about money. I'm sure your teammates cared about their next contract. Coaches cared about their next contract, who was making too much. Salary cap ramifications, everything. You were surrounded by money being so important to how it worked. How did you have a perspective that it just, that wasn't your bag, that you just weren't going to be driven by that?
Well, I just never was. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it's my mom's fault. I just never was. For me, I was always driven by just living life, just the experience of it. And that, you know, that led me to being a very successful football player that led to a lot of money, which I loved the money because it allowed me to have more experiences. And that's why, you know, the moment when I retired from the NFL is because I started traveling a little bit in Europe, and I was loving it. And I was thinking about going back to work, and I started thinking, like, wow, I'm having much more fun doing this. And then I kind of thought about it, and I had enough money to keep doing it. And so I was like, this just feels better. And so I made that. It was a logical choice to me in that moment, but I can understand from the outside looking in, it doesn't make sense.
Mm. I read such a great piece about you earlier this summer about Where Are They Now, Sports Illustrated's Greg Bishop, and it talked about and it was about your kind of interest in astrology and how our signs and our kind of astrologically where our signs match up can define your path in life or where your path is going to go. And I was interested in Mike Ditka's sign, considering that you guys seem like the oddest of couples, and his sign is October the 18th, 1939, so he's a Libra, which is defined as an extrovert. I'm going to read this to you right now. Energetic, stubborn, independent, also persistent, cutting, enterprising, temper, inability to calmly resolve conflict situations without coming to quarrels or scandals. Does that sound like Mike Ditka?
Oh, my God. That is so good and so bad at the same time.
It's funny, though, because Mike, it was so old school, still is so old school. But he does love the game. He does so much for former players now. And so there must have – was there anything that you guys shared in common?
Oh, we're both old school. There's no doubt about it. And I think the other thing we shared in common, and it's more subtle and more abstract, but that you can't judge a book by its cover. You know, the truth. It's funny. You know, those things written about astrology, they're kind of sexist. You know, because Libra, like if you read a lot of like more psychological astrology books, when they talk about Libra is about peace. It's about balance. It's about serenity. It's about love. It's about connection. And underneath the facade, my experience of Mike Ditka was the kindest, most big-hearted, nicest guy ever. And Libra is about friendship, creating connection with people. And I remember the one like major speech. I was only with Ditka for a year, but the one major speech. I missed four games because I had a turf toe injury. And you know, earlier in the year, I had a high ankle sprain. And I remember the meeting started, it was more the facade, you know, and Ditka saying, you know, when I played, we didn't have high ankle sprains.
Yeah.
And then as you know, he started to soften and get into more of the life lessons. He said, it seared into my head. He said, you know, He said, a successful life is if you can count your closest friends on one hand. Okay. When he got down to what was the most important thing to him, that's where he went. That's Libra. Okay. That's Libra.
So loyalty and bonds, and that makes for a great coach. It makes for a great teammate as well, I guess, huh?
Exactly. And he's the facade is not real. Like, he's by far, I've played for a lot of coaches, by far the nicest, kindest, like, most players coach ever. You know, he made everything easy. He made it fun to come to work.
Wow, that's so interesting. Wow, because everybody would think the exact opposite, that he was a hard ass. He was up all of you guys and on top of you all the time, but not the case, huh?
Well, it's this way, like, Libra is the scales, right? And again, it's beauty, right? And beauty transposed onto football is do it right, right? There's a way to do it, okay? And he would lay it out, and if you did it that way, and it wasn't that hard, right? Then you were good. But if you did it, yeah, he would say, you know, like, get back in line, right? This is about get back in balance.
No, that's great insight. That's a really cool insight into Ditka and your relationship with him and everything else. Well, it is awesome to catch up, Ricky, and hopefully we can do this another time down the line, because I have about 1,000 more questions I could ask you about your career and your life and everything that you're doing right now. But thanks so much for carving out time for us today, man. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me. This was great.
Awesome stuff. Ricky Williams joining us this morning here on Sunday Morning Football. Really, really insightful stuff and surprising stuff between him and Mike Ditka, who you assume had nothing in common and were always at odds. And yet, in fact, they had a very deep common bond. Cool stuff with Ricky Williams this morning here on Sunday Morning Football. 5 1,000-yard seasons. He ends up with 10,000 yards for his career, a former All-Pro nod as well. And certainly a firebrand, a talk topic throughout his entire NFL career. Coming up here on Sunday Morning Football, excessive celebration. Your best play-by-play calls from yesterday's championship Saturday in college football. That's straight ahead. DA Damon Amendolara with you. Standing by right now, we've got headlines. Here's Kevin Dexter.
You have a reservation for year-round excitement with CBS Sports. Your ticket to action.
It's Sunday Morning Football with DA.
Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for being with us. Another edition of Sunday Morning Football. Each and every week, we take you through college football's highlights and preview NFL action. 10 until noon Eastern time, 7 until 9 Pacific, right here on the ever-expanding CBS Sports Radio Network. And now that college football and its championship games are over, as we move forward, we'll break down bowl games and get you ready for the college football playoff as well, but go heavy into the NFL even more with 5 weeks to go in the regular season for the NFL. So much that is cooking right now, and keep it locked right here on Sunday Morning Football each and every week on CBS Sports Radio, streaming on the CBS Sports app as well as the Odyssey app. You can stream us on your computer as well. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com or on your smart speaker. Just tell your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio. Well, excessive celebration. This next segment always highlights the very best of the college football weekend from a play-by-play standpoint. And yesterday, so much was on the line. So let's cue the music.
The soundtrack of college football chaos. The announcers losing their minds.
We've got a bunch of folks down there.
He caught it.
It's excessive celebration.
It's going to be caught. It's a touchdown. And the Gators have won the game. I can't believe what I just saw. And this place is an insane asylum.
Touchdown. Let's go and start with the Big 12 title game. It could have been a drive for all time. Oklahoma State, with a win, had a good argument on getting into the college football playoff. Trailing by 5, 21-16, Okie State took over on their own 10-yard line with 3 minutes and change to go. The Cowboys drove all the way down inside the 10-yard line of Baylor. In fact, they had first and goal from the 2 on first and goal. A run for 1 yard, stopped short. On second and goal, run again, stopped short. On third and goal from the 1, it's incomplete. Setting up fourth and goal from the 1. If Oklahoma State gets into the end zone, they win the Big 12 championship and have an argument for the college football playoff. Let's listen in to John Morris on Learfield.
Here's the play. Fourth down and goal from the 1. Handoff, running left, trying to get to the corner. He didn't get there.
He didn't get it.
He stopped short. He stopped short of the goal line. Bears hold the Cowboys out of the end zone. Baylor's going to take over. They hold the Cowboys on fourth and goal from the 1 yard line, and Baylor will take over with 24 seconds to play.
What a defensive play to chase it to the corner, stop the running back just short of the pylon, and the Baylor Bear faithful goes crazy yesterday in the Big 12 title game. We'll talk about what it meant for Oklahoma State and for Baylor coming up at the top of the hour. But what a play and what an ending, what a finish to the Big 12 title game. In the Big 10 title game, Michigan and Iowa. The Wolverines were already up 21-3 in the second half, and they were looking to pour it on even more. How about this one-handed snag in the fourth quarter? Here's how it sounded from Jim Brandstatter and Dan Dierdorf on Learfield.
Back to throw McNamara. Looks, throws, right side, intended for all. Eric Hall makes a one-handed catch. He is absolutely being fathered by Belton. And somehow, Eric Hall being fathered by Belton and manages to pull it in. And that's a touchdown, Michigan.
Can I say something?
You certainly can.
We're Big Ten champions.
What a call. What a catch. It leads to a touchdown for Michigan. And boy, even 14-3 felt like it was insurmountable for an Iowa offense that really struggled throughout the season. But Michigan ends up pouring it on 42-3. They're Big Ten champs, and they are heading to the college football playoff. And finally, let's go to the ACC championship game. Couple of really good quarterbacks, Sam Hartman versus Kenny Pickett, as Wake Forest took on the Pitt Panthers and a potential high round quarterback, perhaps the first quarterback taken in the upcoming NFL draft, and pitch Kenny Pickett. Well, Pitt had opened up a 31-21 lead with about 13 minutes to play, and so Hartman and the Wake Forest Demon Deacons are trying to push and take chances late. Hartman sails one into the secondary, and here's how it sounded last night from Bill Hillgrove on Panthers radio.
Back is Hartman. Big rush. Throws the ball down the field. It's intercepted at the 25-yard line. Running up the field, A.J. Woods. 40, 50, 45, 40, 35, 30, 25, 20. Cuts inside. Picks up a block. Gets to the 10. Gets to the 5. And is tackled at the 3-yard line. A.J. Woods took it out of the air and rambled down the field. And the Panthers have a first and goal at the Wake Forest 3. You gotta be here. This is fantastic championship stuff.
It was an afterthought for so many people because the ACC championship game did not have a route for the winner into the college football playoff, but the Panthers deserve a lot of credit. 45-21 last night, and the Panthers go to 11-2 on the season. They finished 7-1 in the ACC with a win of the ACC championship game, and Kenny Pickett threw for 253 yards and 2 touchdowns on the night. What a season for the Panthers. And it was a weird year in the ACC because Clemson was down, didn't even make the championship game. Florida State still down. Miami's still down. And Virginia Tech fired its coach. And so the normal traditional powers of the ACC were all missing in the college football playoff talk, conversation, and projections. And when you look at the Pitt Panthers season this year, it's kind of amazing. They lost two games all season, one to Miami and one to Western Michigan, 44-41. But that's the way the ACC went, and so congratulations to the Panthers. They are your ACC champs with a spot in a New Year's Six bowl game. So that's excessive celebration after championship weekend. We got so much to get to in hour number two of Sunday Morning Football. When we come back, more on that Big 12 incredible finish. More on Michigan's dance into the playoff. And we'll also talk about Cincinnati doing what it did last night. Plus, a huge one of the AFC East tomorrow night between the Bills and the Patriots. It's coming up here straight ahead. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.